We're talking this week, as I mentioned, about the goodness of God to be funneled, to be channeled through us. And one of the metaphors that Jesus uses to describe this aspect of good works is light. Light. What a wonderful thing light is. We look outside today and we still see the sunny day, we see the bright light, the rays of the sun coming down to radiate around and to have this just beautiful display of natural light. We have the shades come open in the morning and reveal this beautiful day outside, light pouring in, illuminating what had been a dark room, and suddenly there's light. I don't know about you, but when the shades come open in the morning, there's no sleeping for me anymore. If it's bright in the room, I wake up and there I am. I'm ready to be up. But there's this idea of natural light that contrasts with artificial light. Now we all have artificial light in our home. You flip a switch and there comes an incandescent bulb and it goes into the room and it makes it light. But there's something about natural light. There's something about the natural light that is beautiful. And it's revealing, and it's powerful. And the thing, the metaphor that Jesus uses here to describe the light of a believer, the light of someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, is the furthest thing from artificial light. The furthest thing from a kind of light that is self-manufactured, that is made internally and then radiated outward. It is the very definition of a natural light. And the wonderful thing about this that we'll study a little bit today is that when Jesus talks about this natural light, it's not only the concept that the light is from a source that is not ours, but it's natural light in that it will naturally shine outward. In other words, it's not something that we have to try artificially to do. It's not something that we have to say, light, I got to work really hard for you to shine out from me in good works to other people. No. When we are living in union with Jesus Christ, when we are living in fellowship with Jesus Christ, that light flowing from us will not only be natural in its source, but it will be natural in its supply and in its flow to other people. Let your light so shine before men. Today we're going to talk about, give a message entitled, The Natural Light. Natural light. Let's seek the Lord's direction and look at ourselves to say, is my life radiating that natural light, that natural light that comes from God and flows out to everyone around me? Let's talk first of all about light received. This natural light received. How does that happen? What is this kind of natural light that we received? Well, first of all, like any natural light, it has a source. It has a source. If you go outside and you look around at natural light, it's coming from one of two objects. Likely, it's coming from the sun, the greater light to rule the day, as Genesis 1 calls it, or the moon, the lesser light that rules the night. And so when the sun beams down, when its rays come down, we just see, oh, it's light, it's the sun's out. It's the reason why it's light outside. And so in the same way, the source of the light that we receive, let your light so shine before men. The true source is God. It's through the work of Jesus Christ. This in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Isn't it interesting? That city that is set on a hill, it's put on a hill. The city did not just spring up of its own. It was so beautiful yesterday. We were coming, Tabitha and I, we're coming back to the cities from the Apple Valley area. And you come, when you're coming north on Cedar Avenue on 77, there comes to a point in maybe just outside the city limits of Apple Valley, right around there, where you see the city of Minneapolis up on a hill, as it were. And it was so beautiful. The sun was just kind of setting last night. The sun and that glow kind of off the buildings. It was just like the city skyline was just glowing with light. And it was this beautiful picture. And in a sense, that's what this picture of a city set on a hill. A city has been placed on a hill. That's us as believers. And the source is God. Now, why is God the source of this light? Well, we've talked about it before, but it's because He is light. Turn over to 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John and chapter 4, that's one of the five, I guess, last books in the Bible. First John chapter 1, excuse me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Look what John says. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Not only does God give light, but He is light. And so it makes perfect sense that if we are His children, we too would reflect that light, that it would be in us. And you remember, someday when we're going to get to heaven, Revelation 21 tells us that there's going to be no need for sun. There's going to be no need for the moon. There's going to be no need for the stars. There's going to be no need for a light switch for light. Why? Because the Lamb is the light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is going to be that light that is providing enough glow for everyone who's going to be there. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful day that's going to be. So we've seen the source, first of all, the light received, it's God. If you don't have God, if you don't have His Holy Spirit living within you, you're not light. You can't be a city set on a hill. You have no light to give to others because the light, the source of light, is God. Secondly, let's understand the separation. A city that is set on a hill is one that is set apart. A city is on a mountain, it's on a hill. You look up and you say, wow, that city up there is different from that city down in the valley. It's separated by height. It's separated by distance. It's different from that thing down there. And so it's set apart. And so what God is saying is, our light, the light received, is what separates us from the darkness. Isn't it amazing when Jesus says to us, remember, Jesus says He is the light of the world. And He also says, you are the light of the world. What does that tell you? The world's dwelling in darkness. The world's dwelling in moral darkness. At the beginning of the creation, God separated, Genesis 1, separated the light and separated the darkness. And that's what He's been doing ever since. Separating light from darkness. And so we understand this world to be in a great moral darkness where sin is called righteousness and righteousness is called sin. What does it mean that we're the light of the world? Do you know that if the church is dwelling in darkness, if they're covering their light, we are only magnifying the world's darkness? Isn't it amazing? When we stand and hide the truth that God has given us of righteousness, when we are not letting our light so shine before men in our good works, we are just confirming the darkness that they are living in because we are the light of the world. We are the ones that are supposed to be pictures of the separation of light from darkness. And what a sad thing that is when that happens. And finally, let's understand the status. You see, we are separate. We are separate light from darkness. We won't turn there, but if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, you used to be darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And here's what I mean by this status. You are the light of the world. Think about that. Is that a future tense? Is that a past tense? You were the light of the world. You will be the light of the world. You should be the light of the world. You are. Right now. That means if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world right now. There's no bones about it. You are light in the Lord. And so what Paul says is, in Ephesians 5, walk as children of light. In other words, act in accordance with what you truly are. Don't be any different than you are inwardly. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are light. And we need to recognize, friends, that it's not our decision about whether we are the light of the world. We are. So we better act like it, because it's something that is true in us. So first of all, we understand the light received. This natural light comes from God. He is the source. It comes and indwells us because we used to be darkness. And the moment we're saved, we're lit, if you will, by the Spirit of God. That candle of His Spirit comes and dwells inside us. And then we have a glowing light inside us. And that is our status right now. We are the light of the world. Secondly, let's understand the light radiated. The light radiated. You know, it's the very nature of light to radiate outward. The sun shines. And what happens? Its rays come down here, past the light year upon light year upon light year gap between the sun and the earth, and we have light. The sun just naturally shines. And so what Jesus says is, let your light so shine, radiate, go forward out in rays to other people. Let's understand, first of all, the expectation. The expectation is that we will shine. Now, this, if you understand Scripture, you will see all the places that Scripture talks about us as Christians being noticed, being seen by good works, by good things. In other words, the expectation is that as our light shines out, it will be shining out in the good things that we do, in the godly things that we are, and that we communicate to other people. We'll just look at a few of them. Turn over to, where do we want to start? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is so neat. You probably have looked at Ephesians chapter 2 if you've been giving the gospel to anybody. This is one of the great verses that we use. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. In other words, this is the truth of the gospel right here, and we know this verse. You know those two verses backwards and forwards. Yeah, by grace are you saved through faith. You can't do it by good works. It's got to be by faith. It's got to be by the grace of God. But then look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, the truth of the gospel message that He brings forward, if you're saved, you're saved by faith. You're not saved by doing good things. You're not saved by helping your neighbor across the street. You're not saved by opening the door for someone to come in. You're not saved by going to church. You're not saved by getting baptized. You're not saved by the good activities that we can do. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ by saying, Christ, I can't get to heaven any way but You. You're the only way, and I'm trusting for You, in You for salvation. But look what comes immediately after that as a condition, as a necessary effect of that cause of salvation. God is prepared. He's ordained for you to do good works. He's prepared you for that. That's the expectation that you're saved, that you're going to take that goodness that God has given to you and spread it to other people. Take a look at 2 Timothy. Turn over a few more books from Ephesians to 2 Timothy. Did you know that this is the very effect of Scripture to prepare you for this? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what the purpose of this book is? Do you know why we read this book? Do you know why we study it as believers? Do you know why we use it, allow it to equip us and edify us so we can go out and do good things? So we can go out and be lights in the world? Because this book is equipping us, it's furnishing us to do good works. Turn over a few more books to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, not only is this the purpose of the Word of God to equip us to do good works, it's the purpose of the church. It's the purpose of the body of believers that are with us. Take a look at verse 24. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And we could go to so many other passages. Another great example is Titus 2:14 that says that God brought us unto himself. Why? So that we could be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not just something that we do as our duty and put grimace and bite our lip and have to do it, but so that we can be zealous about it, we can be excited about it, we can be rejoicing in good works. Oh, that we'd understand this expectation that if we are light in the Lord, if we are have received His light, our expectation is that it will be seen in others. This is what James 2 is getting to. Many people have been confused by James 2 when it says things like faith without works is dead. His faith, can faith save him? With this kind of person who just goes and says, I'll show you my faith without my works. No, the purpose, what James 2 is saying is, if we say we have faith inwardly and it does not manifest itself in outward conduct, what kind of faith do we actually have? What kind of faith? If I tell you, I believe that this stock is going to go straight up, the market is going to go like crazy like this, and anyone who invests in this stock is going to be a millionaire. And then you come back to me a month later and you say, oh, how'd that work out for you? I never invested in it. I never put my money into it. What would you say about my belief about what that stock was going to do? Did I really believe it? No. No, I didn't. And so when we see ourselves acting in not in this way of good works to other people, not in this way of giving, of allowing our light to shine before men, what do you say about our faith? It's not where it needs to be. It's certainly not the true, genuine faith that God is desiring us to have and that He not only desires to have, but He expects us to have as His creatures. So first of all, we see this expectation of the light radiated. Then secondly, let's talk about the examples. Now I'm going to throw the floor open here. I want you to think of some examples in Scripture of people who have been known for good works. Who are some people who have been known for good works in Scripture? These people that their light has just radiated before other people very naturally. Just throw out some names. Tabitha. Much like the biblical character, my wife also radiates good works. No. Do you know what it says in Acts? If you go and study in Acts, Tabitha was known for her good works. She was known for ministering to other people and meeting their needs and doing good and kind and loving things to them. Tabitha is a wonderful example. Any other examples? Joseph, man, you better believe someone who was storing up corn, was storing up all this provision in Scripture to give to other people. He showed kindness to his brothers. Yes, what about a hypothetical? What about a parable Jesus gave? The Good Samaritan. Isn't it interesting that the Samaritan is, we think of him as good, the Good Samaritan? Now, what was that Good Samaritan? What was the parable about? Jesus, someone asked Jesus, hey, you say to love my neighbor. Yeah, so Scripture says love my neighbor, but what does it mean? Who's my neighbor? Jesus says the person who is the downcast one. That's your neighbor, the one who's struggling, the one who's living in sorrow and in pain, and that's your neighbor, just as much as the person you would really like to love. You'd really like to show good to your buddy, your best friend. No. The neighbor, and what a wonderful example of that Good Samaritan, to go in love and to take him and pay for that person who was injured and was in distress, and to take care of him himself. All these examples of light radiating to others. But of course, the number one example that we see is Jesus Christ. There's an interesting, just an interesting passage that I recognized. Turn to Acts in chapter 10. This is how Jesus was described by his own disciples. This is how Jesus was remembered by the people that were closest to him. This is Peter. He's preaching. He's talking to Cornelius, a man who had called for him. And in chapter 10 and verse 37, he's giving the gospel to him. And here's what he says: "That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Think about that testimony of Jesus. He just went around doing good. He just went around doing good to all the people he could, in all the places he could, in all the ways he could, in every opportunity that he had. He just went around doing good. Turn over to John. John chapter 10. This was not only the testimony of others about Jesus, it was the testimony of Jesus himself. John chapter 10 and verse 32. The context of this is that all these Jews are about to stone Jesus. They're taking stones up to stone him because they think he's been blaspheming. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" He says, look, I'm just around doing good here. I'm doing good works. I'm healing the sick. I'm rescuing those that have been in captivity by sin. I'm showing love to those that are afflicted by the devil and in a snare. I'm just going around and doing good. What a wonderful example we have when we understand that the same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus, if you will, that was resting on Jesus to do the work that God wanted him to do, that same Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus was the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And so it should be our natural expectation, our natural flow for this just to be going around doing good. Going around to do good in wherever we can and whatever we can. Third, let's understand the essence. The essence of this radiance. This is very important. I talked to the kids upstairs and downstairs. Like I said, I brought a filter. And then to the kids downstairs, I held up a cup. And I said, you know, have you ever known someone who is just going to be going around and they're rude to everybody who's around them, but as soon as someone important is looking, as soon as someone is watching, oh, they're going to be the kindest, gentlest, nicest person around. Oh, mom's looking. She might give me a reward for doing this. Mom, can I sweep the floor? Here, I'll sweep the floor. I'll help you out here. Mom, you see my room? Isn't that amazing? Someone important's around and suddenly... We're suddenly the kindest, gentlest person. Mom is, you know, barking at the kids, angrily yelling and screaming at them, and suddenly the phone rings. Hello? Hello, nice. I'm having a great day. Thank you.
Well, they swear like a sailor, but soon as a preacher shows up,
that's right.
They change.
Absolutely right. I always laugh, we go out into the community and we'll knock on the door at someone's house and someone you hear from behind the door, church people, it's the church people. And you hear this bustling and crazy getting ready for the church people to come into the house, make that house presentable for the church people.
Yep, you can tell but, stories, I'm sure.
But you, we all know those kind of people because we probably recognize it in ourselves. Mm-hmm. That kind of fear of man to say, yeah, that's me. Putting my best foot toward Boston, as they say. I'm putting my best foot forward. Well, there were some people. Jesus knew all about these people. He knew all about them because in his day, the prime examples of these were people called Pharisees. There were people called Pharisees, and we'll study a little bit more about that in the next point. But the purpose of this essence, of this radiance, is that it's not our artificial good works going out toward others. It's not us stirring up in ourselves, I really gotta love this person, I don't want to, but I really need to. or us going around out of duty to say, well, God, I guess you expect it, so I'm just going to go do it. I'm going to be grumpy the whole time. I'm going to be miserable while I'm going out helping someone build a, you know, and we have had a great opportunity recently with the Watson family building in their home, and it's been great to see people out there helping them and working and showing love to them. But I'll show you a wonderful example of why this is so important. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. This is the love chapter of the Bible. This is the chapter that shows what it is to have love, what true godly love looks like, what true charity looks like. Paul makes an amazing statement in this passage. Look what he says in verse 3 of chapter 13. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Friends, what could be a better work, a better good work, than giving everything you have to the poor? And saying, hey, I'm willing to make myself have no clothing beyond that what I'm wearing. I'm willing to have no security in life. I'm willing to give absolutely everything I own so that person over there can have a shelter. I'm willing to do that for... What do we say to those people? What do we think of someone like Mother Teresa, who gave her life to rescuing people in Calcutta, to other people who have given... Oh, wow. What an amazing... I could never do that, but what an amazing thing. Paul makes an astonishing statement. I don't care if you give everything, every cent you have to help someone else. If you do it without love in your heart, it's not going to profit you a single thing before God. Now, you might help other people. If I went and sold everything I have and gave something to someone else, it might help them. It won't help me at all. God's not looking down at me and saying, oh, what a wonderful person that you did. No. Why? Because what we need to understand is these good works come not from something that we artificially create in ourselves, this sense of duty, this sense of obligation, this sense of I should, or this sense of is anybody looking to see? No. The sole motivation that we have is Christ's love flowing through us. And that's why I held up that funnel for those kids. Jesus Christ has poured His love into us, into the top part of that funnel. And He's poured it out abundantly. He poured it out when we didn't deserve it. We were sinners going to hell. He poured it out when we rejected Him and rebelled against Him. He poured it out when we still today stiff arm Him and say, God, You said yes, but I'm going to say no. You said no, but I'm going to say yes because I like doing it. And He's continued to pour out His love and His goodness to us. And instead of just being a cup that is filling that up for ourselves and saying, oh, I'm getting a whole lot of love here. No, the idea of is a funnel that comes right out the bottom. His love pours into us and His love flows right through us. That means exactly what we've been talking about this month. God's goodness and His patience. What does that mean for us? What does that funnel look like? That means the same way that God has been patient with us and willing to forgive us. That means when it comes out the bottom of the funnel, that means, hey, I'm willing to forgive anybody who's hurt me. Don't care how often it should be. Doesn't care how often it happens. If God forgave me, I can forgive other people because it's Your forgiveness, God. It's not me biting my lip and saying, oh, I guess I have to forgive. God, You've forgiven me. So here it goes, forgiving other people. What about the second week we talked about? Giving good gifts, giving good things, giving provision. God's given us abundantly. How can we not be generous to other people? How can we not say, brother, you're struggling in need right here. God met me when I was at my greatest need and pulled me up here. Here's my hand. You want some help? It's not us, again, creating this in ourselves. It's just God, I'm a funnel. Go right through me. Go right through me to be to other people. What did we talk about last week? Promises. God's kept His promise to us. God's kept His word. His word is yea, yea, nay, nay. It's faithful. It's forever true. What should our word be like? We say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. Not because there's anything, not even because we're so concerned as much about our own reputation as about God's reputation. God, You poured out Your faithfulness to me. How can I not be faithful to other people? Here it goes. What an amazing thing we understand when the essence of this light radiated is not us creating our own light to give to people as Christians, but just to reflect the light that God has poured out, has radiated, has shined upon us. So first of all, we see the light received. If you're a believer, the light is in you. You are the light of the world. The light radiated. It's God's light flowing through you. It's reflecting off you and going to other people. And third, let's see very quickly and very importantly, the light revealing. This is just an amazing truth. The light revealing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The amazing thing about it is that as God's light is poured, is shined on us, and as we reflect that light to others, who is revealed? God. Isn't it amazing? It's not revealing us as being some superhuman, charitable, loving person who gets lifted up and magnified in the sight of others. The point of us good works, of our good works to others, is that so the God's light would bounce off us to others, and then it would be bounced straight back up to Him, that He would be glorified. Let's understand, first of all here, the reliance. What is revealed? The light reveals, first of all, our reliance. Let your light so shine before men, so that when they see us, they look at us and they say, wow, great little Peter, such a nice person, such a wonderful human being. No, they don't look at that and say, wow, what a great human being that is. They look at me and they say, wow, what a great God he serves. That's so unnatural. Wait, you mean he loves the people who hate him? That's not... There must be something going on with him. Wait, you mean he gives sacrificially and generously and doesn't expect anything in return? Wow. That Christianity thing must be real. Wait, you mean that he's willing to go out and sacrifice when he's tired and when he's exhausted and when worn out? He's still willing to go out and help other people and give of himself and of his time? Wow, that's just different. There must be something true to that whole Bible thing, that whole Christianity thing. That is the point. Now look over at chapter 6. Look over at chapter 6. And this is Jesus getting on the Pharisees because they didn't get it. They thought that when what their light was supposed to reveal was themselves and how great they were. Look at the very first part of that chapter. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, what's alms? That's giving things. That was their giving of gifts to other people, to the poor and to the needy. Do not sound a trumpet before thee.
Or the ram's horn.
Yeah, or the ram's horn, right, Johnny? Before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Why? That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. This is not supposed to reveal your reliance on yourself and how good you are. Our good works reveal our reliance on Jesus Christ and on His power. Secondly, it reveals a relationship. What relationship does it reveal? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven. Is that what it says? Glorify your Lord which is in heaven. Is that what it says? Glorify your Master which is in heaven. Is that what the verse says?
Your Father.
Glorify your Father. Do you know this is the first time in the entire New Testament? Spurgeon pointed this out in a sermon. You know this is the first time in the New Testament the word God is associated as our Father? And when does it come out? When it's talking about His children's activities? I asked someone the other day, I said, well, we were out yesterday busing and Tabitha and I were there and we were out of house. I said, who does Lars look more like, his mom or his dad? The mother was very, very discerning and wise. She said, Both. I said, oh, that's the right answer. You nailed it, right? You're not going to get into any problems with that answer. But so why is God glorified as our Father when we do good works? Because when you see children doing something, you look to their father. Wow, children are doing right. Their fathers must have trained them well. Here, they see their children going around mannerly and acting. Wow, the father must be exemplifying that at home. The father must be doing a great job. And so when God's children bear the resemblance of good works and of the light that he has, they say, wow, they must have a wonderful Father in heaven. The Father in heaven must be doing a great job with them. He must be pouring out his light upon them. And so we understand that wonderful truth that the relationship of us to God is revealed when we act as children of light. And finally, third and most importantly, let's understand the light reveals the radiator. If light is radiated from us, and it's only coming on the behalf of God, when we live, when our light is radiated to others, it reveals the one who gave us the light. It's that others might see and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, that he might be lifted up, that he might be exalted, that he might be set even higher in the eyes of this sinful world. Friends, what does your natural light look like? What kind of light is being funneled through you right now? What kind of light is going out to the world right now? What kind do your unsaved friends, co-workers, family, what does everyone around you see that's coming off from you? Do they see darkness? Do they see no light at all? Do they see no good works to be spoken of? You're living for yourself. You're living for number one. You're concerned about your own well-being before others. What we're understanding is that's hiding our light. And what you need to understand is not that you need to find some way to try harder, to be a little bit better, to create a little better light from you. No, you just need to say, God, I'm sick of hiding the light that I already have. I'm sick of intentionally taking steps to not allow my light to shine. I just got to let it. I just got to let it go. I got to see your love to me and just let it go to other people. That's the basis of our good works. Maybe they don't see darkness, but maybe they see your self-promotional light, your artificial light that is looking around for the glory and for the praise of others. People struggle with this. They say, wait, but I see so many unsaved people that are so nice and so kind and so loving, so merciful. How does that work? Well, the truth of it is that those people are being built up from their good works, but Jesus Christ isn't being built up. Those people may be doing good things that we see, but they're missing the purpose of it, which is to reveal Jesus Christ, to reveal God in them and through them. And we should be the exact pictures of that. The essence of that should be Jesus Christ, his light flowing through us as the light of the world. And then let's remember that focus, that purpose, is not that we'd be lifted up, not that we'd be built up, but that Jesus Christ, that God the Father, would be revealed in us and through us.
Can I draw an illustration?
Well, we're running. Oh, yeah, that's go for it, Dave.
Right. You mentioned we are funneled.
That's right. Thank you for that, Dave. And so let's remember that. Let's ask ourselves, what is my natural light right now? And what would God have that to me? What would God have that to be in my daily life? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful gift that you've given us, the light of the world. And Father, I pray that we would recognize our status as the light of the world. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who is not the light of the world right now because they've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, they've never received his light for themselves, they're still children of darkness, I pray that they would be saved today. I pray that they would trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life, that today may be the day when they allow that radiation, allow that light, those rays of God to come flowing through them. Bless this service now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.